The Senate Education Committee to order. Today is Monday, February 26, 2018. The time is 8 a.m. Myself in attendance are myself, Senator Stevens. Senator Hughes is not here yet. Senator Coghill is. Senator Begich is. And Senator Giesel. So we have a quorum to conduct business. Today we'll take up Senate Bill 185 relating to rehiring retired teachers. This is the first hearing of this bill. The intention today is to hear from the bill sponsor, Senator Majigny. Any relevant agencies that want to speak to us, stakeholders, get a summary of what the bill does, take some public testimony, entertain questions, discussion on the bill, hold up further review, and find out why, Senator Majigny, you have it out for teachers who are over 62. I really am anxious to hear that. And any questions? Senator Hughes is with us. Any questions from the committee? Very well. Senator Majigny. I say that because I know your father would, your father-in-law would have asked that question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Peter Majigny, District O on the Kenai.
Rachel Hankey, staff to Senator Majigny.
It's funny you should say that about my teacher, professor, father-in-law who's visiting right now. We were talking about this bill last night, and one of them said, well, I'm already teaching in retirement. And the other one said, why would I want to? Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for hearing SB 185, Reemployment of Retired Teachers or Administrators. The bill will reinstate the retire-rehire provision that was adopted in 2005 through HB 161. It had a sunset date in 2009. And as you know, if you remember last year, Alaska has experienced a severe shortage of teachers, particularly in rural Alaska, as well as specialists and administrations in our school districts throughout every region of the state. And attracting and retaining quality teachers has become a critical issue facing school district as they work to improve education in Alaska's public schools. And, you know, I see some of the ads where they're advertising for high school graduates to come take sort of a prep course to fill a classroom. Do you want a lifetime of experience filling a position temporarily, or do you want a high school graduate being able to fill that role? So it gives flexibility to rehire retired teachers, which will expand the pool of qualified teachers to temporary fill positions till a permanent teacher is hired for that position. Currently, districts are struggling to fill those vacant positions and are relying on long-term substitutes to fill them. And this bill will also provide another tool for school districts to address this problem in the short term while long-term solutions continue to be worked on. That's the bill in a nutshell. If you do have a question on the if there's any retirement cost, House Finance has requested an actuarial that we'll be looking at, but the reality of it is any other teacher filling that slot's going to have the same TERS impact. So just wanted you to remember that. So our bill, our fiscal note right now is indeterminate because of that, but would essentially be the same as anyone else in the TERS system.
Thank you, Senator Majigny. So could you run us through the impact this might have on the retirement system or on medical issues, health coverage, just so we have a clear understanding of that?
Rachel?
Mr. Chairman, I think some of those questions could be answered with the sectional, but then also we have Lisa Parity that will be coming up right after us.
Okay, great. Why don't you go ahead with the sectional then?
Section 1 adds a new section, and this will is the part that will allow the rehire of educators retired under the defined benefit plan or the defined contribution plan. Before a retired member can be considered to fill the position, the school district must publicly advertise for 10 business days and actively recruit to fill that position with a person other than a retired member. A teacher whom is retired from the defined benefit or contribution plan must be retired for 6 months or more if they're younger than 62, or 60 days if they're 62 or older before they're considered for rehire. The retired member must also clarify that there was no prearrangement of reemployment prior to retirement. Section 2 would allow the retirees who are rehired as permitted by Section 1 to continue to receive retirement benefits during the period of reemployment. Section 3 will make retirees who are reemployed as permitted by Section 1 ineligible to receive additional retirement benefits based on the service and salary during the period of reemployment. Section 4 clarifies that a member who is reemployed does not become an active member, will continue to receive retirement benefits, deductions under TERS will not be made to their salary, and reemployment educators will not receive credited time for service during this time. The section also ensures that retired or rehired teacher will be eligible to receive the group health plan coverage that's provided to active members. Section 5 conforms that an employer must make contributions to the defined benefit plan of the TERS system as proposed by Section 1. The section also requires employers to make contributions to TERS for reemployed educators. Section 6 would apply the bill's provisions to contracts that are made on or after the bill's effective date.
Thank you. So the question I started with earlier, could you comment on it? If someone has retired, they are receiving medical benefits, why wouldn't you just let them continue that, but you indicate that they would receive the group health benefits under that is provided to active members? Can you explain what that means?
Mr. Chairman, we have Lisa Parity here, who we are carrying the bill for educators. One of them is here and might be best suited to answer those questions.
Okay, that sounds good. But before we go on, questions of Senator Machicki, our staff. Yes, Senator Hughes.
Thank you. Good morning. And I'm glad that we're coming up with solutions regarding teacher shortages. That's really important for our kids. First, I want to say I've been slightly distracted. My daughter is in labor, and
oh, wow.
I was getting an update right before coming in here, and my mind was still spinning with this. So forgive me if you already, in your opening remarks, mentioned it, because now my mind is on SB 185.
And where is your daughter?
She's in Coeur d'Alene, and this is her first, so it's pretty exciting.
Yes.
I'm wondering the age 60, the difference between the 60 days and the 6 months, and I was really relieved because as I read the sponsor statement, it was a little bit comical because depending how you read it, it looks like the bill will allow school districts to reemploy educators who are retired for 6 months. I thought, oh, they're only allowed to hire them for 6 months. And then I went on, but if they're 62, they could only hire them for 60 days. But it was just how I read it. So it's totally fine. When I read the bill, I realized that I had misread. But why the difference between the 6 months and the 60 days? And I do, again, apologize if you already explained that.
I think what we've heard is we'll ask
yes,
Senator Lisa Parity about that. Any other questions of the Senator or our staff? Well, thanks so much. Thank you, Senator. And Lisa, if you'd come forward. Defend this sexism clause. I mean, not sexism, I mean ageism.
There we go. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Lisa Skiles Parity, the Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators, representing superintendents, principals, and school business officials, as well as other administrators. And it is with that membership in mind that we want to certainly thank the sponsor for bringing this forward. These folks are the people who make hiring decisions in school districts and who have really been struggling, as I think we're all aware of at this point in the session. So I want to quickly answer your question, Mr. Chairman, and I believe it was Senator Giesler or Senator Hughes that just asked why the separation, and that is as a result of incorporating IRS letter ruling requiring a bona fide separation of employment. And those are the specific timelines that were outlined in that IRS letter ruling. And I do want to...
this is a six-month period you're talking
about. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I would also offer that there is an expert in the room from the Department of Retirement, Kathy Lee, who's over the retirement system. So additional specific technical questions about the bill can be asked of her as well. So I'll, if I may, just kind of jump into some testimony. We are in strong support of this bill. It's, again, another tool that would help school districts in a time where we just need immediate assistance. And I think, as we've been discussing, there's a lot of data points across the system that we just need help, and this is one of them, and that's in terms of our huge crisis in staffing across the state. It's, again, not a silver bullet, but it's able to provide some relief. It would allow for the reemployment of retired educators to help districts fill vacancies, and it is a necessary tool for both urban and rural districts. I think you've seen in the letters, and you'll hear from testimony from some of our members, that this has the potential to support districts such as Anchorage, and even a more enormous potential to help our most rural districts, who are really seeing turnover rates at a rate at which we've never really seen before in Alaska. So we've been working on this for a couple years. This is the companion bill to a bill in the House, House Bill 224, and it's the first bill in my tenure that I've worked on that has the support of all of education. So we have partnered with school boards, which is very common for us to do, to work together. But sometimes it's less common for us to work with NEA Alaska. And in fairness, it's been, I think, an example of a bill that is addressing something that everyone in education is seeing as a crisis. And so we did incorporate some suggestions from NEA Alaska that would allow the contract to be for just 1 year at a time, which is fine, and also that the district be able to show that they've gone through the hiring process. And, of course, that's the reason we're here, is districts are going through the hiring process, posting, advertising, and not getting someone to fill that vacancy. So, again, that was fairly easily to accommodate. Basically, the supply and demand issue, our critical shortage of supply. I want to remind you, and I've given you our joint position statements, but one of our highest priorities in the joint position statements is preparing, attracting, and training, retaining qualified educators. And I do want to just give some numbers about just to quantify that. So all of you remember the days where we would show up at a job fair in Anchorage, and there would be thousands of people in line. They wanted to come to Alaska. And last year, 2017, we had 211 candidates at the job fair, 36 districts at the job fair, and the majority of those, I don't know if it's a majority, many of those candidates, the 211, were moving around within Alaska. So I don't really want to speak about why that might be the case, but those folks are being hired, and there's a reason that they were moving from a district to another district, sometimes not always positive for our kids. Sometimes because they want to come from being off the road system to being on the road system. But I submit to you that going to 211 candidates is just not meeting our need. And we are specifically very supportive to President Johnson in his current focus on increasing the number of teachers that are prepared by the University of Alaska. And that's a fabulous effort that they're undertaking. And their goal is to produce 90% of our teachers by 2025. And again, that's a stretch goal, and we're 100% behind it, but we're not there. And so we really need assistance right now. And I see this a little bit as a stopgap, so that we can make sure we're filling our vacancies with qualified candidates while we're working on other strategies like President Johnson's to fill those gaps. And I'll close with just saying that I have the summary of the Retire Rehire program experience. The last time it was in law, it was 2001 to 2010, so it sunset in 2009. And the most, the total use in that period of time was 325 people. So this isn't, this outrageous, crazy number of people, but 325 people would go a long way in helping us fill some of these vacancies. And just to give you, break that down a little bit, So 325 retirees were rehired. The average time reemployed was 18.7 months. The shortest period of reemployment was 3 months. Longest period of reemployment was 46 months. And in this case, those would have to be multiple contract years. The employer employing the largest number was the Lower Kuskokwim School District. And the highest number employed in 1 year was 181. And the majority of those positions were for teachers. And we had 45 special education teachers used, which is, again, not surprising. That's an area that we're really struggling to fill, along with some of our other high-need areas, math, science, those places. The thing that I like to point out about this is it's about educators. In Alaska, we have had about a 60% turnover rate for superintendents, a 26% turnover rate for principals, and I think we're somewhat familiar with our teacher turnover rate, which looks different by area. So if you're looking at Anchorage, I think our numbers are around 22% average statewide, but it looks different in Anchorage versus, of course, our remote, isolated villages, which the numbers on that, their retention rate is like 57%. So you can see that everyone's going to benefit by this kind of bill. So we really appreciate you considering it, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mrs. Parody. Yes, Senator Giesel and then Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Ms. Parody, this may not be a question you can answer. Maybe I have to go back to the bill sponsor, but I'm confused by Section 2 because I'm looking at the sponsor statement, which says that retirees rehired will continue to receive retirement benefits, but it says in Section 2, the retired member again becomes an active member. Benefit payments may not be made. Which is it? Or am I not understanding something here?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Giesel. So as I read this, except as provided in Section F, and Section F then outlines this bill. So I think of it as a at-will, 1 year, no additional benefits, no additional paying in, if you break it down to its purest form. There is a 12.6% commitment on behalf of the employer, the school district, if you want to avail yourself of this opportunity to offset the unfunded pension liability for the retirement system, which was basically a compromise with the Department of Administration and the retirement system, in that we all are basically paying for the benefit of using this as an option. Because the school district would continue to pay that percent for the unfunded payment or unfunded pension liability, which they pay on every employee today. On these people, they would continue to pay that. But other than that, it's just a salary contract with the employer. The employer would be required to offer as an, and they can opt out as a health insurance as an option for the employee.
Thank you. Senator Giesel, are you okay?
No, but I'm going to keep listening. Okay. I still think it's double-dipping. But
thank you. Senator Hughes, and then to Senator Begich. Senator Hughes.
And I have two questions. First one is a quick one. I'm looking through this, and even though we've been talking about the teacher shortage and the need and referring to educators, I'm seeing that it's a member of of the teacher's retirement system. So would this apply to administrators as well? Because you mentioned some of the rates for administrative turnover. So are we trying to get teachers in classrooms, or could administrators be falling under this?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hughes, it's open to educators, so it could include principals or superintendents.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, and I have a second question.
If I could follow up on that, are there any administrators who are not in PERS? Are some administrators actually in PERS?
Mr. Chairman, yes, there are. The law allows for I think it's essentially a CEO of a school district to be employed, but they would be in PERS. So this is specific to TERS.
Thank you. Senator Hughes, I'm sorry I interrupt for you.
And this might be a little bit as a follow-up to Kathy. So if I'm off on this, please explain. But the way I'm seeing it is the employer is going to put into the retirement system, into the TERS, while they have this retired person coming back on the job. But the employee is not putting into it at that point, but they're receiving their monthly retirement checks. Is that correct? That's the first half of the question.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hughes, the employee would continue to receive the benefits that they receive through their entire retirement. Mm-hmm. And I'll note that this is similar to any retiree from anywhere in the lower 48. They can come here from Montana and be employed, and their retirement is not impacted by that. Our retirees are unable to do that currently. So we can't hire our retired employees who've, you know, given their career to Alaska to come back in and do a salary contract with the school district for a year without them being penalized. What this bill does is allow for a retired Alaskan educator to come back to the school district or a school district, not at the level that they retired, but on a salary contract for a one-year period to, in essence, and as you saw the usage before, is really classroom teachers is the primary use to fill that vacancy.
Follow
yes,
up.
Please.
And I understand that there's still those monthly retirement check is still coming in, but Mike, what I also need clarification is it just the employer putting money in each month to the TERS system, or is the employee also having something withdrawn from his or her check being put into the TERS system during that reemployment period?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, the employer, the school district, would be paying the 12.6%, not the employee. Employee would only have a salary, basically, relationship with the school district. The school district would be paying in the unfunded pension liability amount for that employee, but the employee would not be making those payments, as I understand it.
And follow up, which is the second half. Now the health care is going for the reemployed retired person is coming from the active employee health care plan that the school district has. It's not coming from the TERS system. So are we, and why is that? Is that a cheaper way for that person to get the health care than through the TERS system? And are we cost neutral as far as that 12.56% coming from the employer, with the employee not pitching in during that time? Is that part of the compromise, and are we cost neutral? And maybe we need the Division of Retirement person up for that one. But
Mr. Chairman, through the chair, Senator Hughes, I would agree that we might need Kathy Lee to join us at the table, but I also, our efforts were to make this as cost neutral as possible. We're not trying to impact the retirement system. We're really just trying to fix a huge hole for the school districts. And so part of our compromise, and we worked on this for 2 years, was to try to address that unfunded liability, you know, that pension amount. And so we agreed to put that in here. And if you think about it, it's maybe a disincentive to a school district, you know, because you want to incent school districts to continue to try to find long-term classroom teachers, long-term principals, long-term superintendents, but versus not having a position filled, this is a much better alternative, or filling the position with long-term with a substitute or a paraprofessional who may not have the skill set that our students need to learn. I mean, this is a preferred alternative to that, and that's where we find ourselves. So, again, yes, it was a compromise to try to be somewhat cost neutral. I see that the fiscal note is not determinant, and you know, been working with the Department of Administration to make sure that the fiscal note assumptions are reasonable, because we only had 300 and some people use it last time, so we don't need to calculate the world using this. I mean, let's look at what this is designed to do and look at what that true impact will be. And one of our efforts to offset was that compromise.
Well, thank you. And just as follow-up, the employer putting into the retirement system, but the employee not. And we all know we have a huge growing liability. And so if the employee's not taking the health care from that retirement system, maybe that balances out. But if it's increasing our liability, then I'd be concerned that the employee's not contributing to. So I look forward to more clarification on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. A very interesting point brought up about currently teachers from out of state, California, Oregon, Washington, can come today and we'll hire them immediately and no problem, but we are precluded from hiring Alaska retired teachers. That's a really interesting point. Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Dr. Parody. My questions mostly were asked by Senator Hughes, but one of them specifically on the medical coverage. The current retiree could continue to opt into a better medical plan, which might be their personal retirement plan, and opt to not go at all into the medical plan. Isn't that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, that is correct.
And so also the reason we're not having the employee pay any of the retirement is because they're not adding to their retirement at all, and so it's actually just an incentive to help with the paying up the unfunded liability, but there's no additional pressure going into the retirement system because it's a one-year contract. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, that is correct. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
So before we go to Kathy Lee, and if there are any other questions, I do think we need to better understand that clause, which I misunderstood too, Senator Hughes brought up. A teacher whom is retired from the defined benefit or contribution plan must be retired for 6 months or more if they are younger than 62. Okay, have to be retired for 6 months. Or 60 days if they are 62 or older before they're considered for rehire. Can you help me understand what that really means? And maybe we need a grammarian here to help us.
Mr. Chairman, there was, I believe, and again, Kathy Lee can nail the specifics, but there is that language is specifically from the IRS letter ruling that requires a bona fide separation of employment to be reemployed in a retirement system. And so one of the things that we had to do over the last year is work with their attorney general at the Department of Administration, who basically took the language of the IRS letter ruling and embedded it into the bill so that we would be in compliance with what they're held in compliance with. And that language is from the IRS.
Well, thank you. We'll look forward to hearing more from Kathy as well.
Yes.
Further questions, Mrs. Parody? Thank you, Dr. Parody.
Thank you.
And Kathy Lee, if you'd come up, please. All questions lead to Kathy Lee. And if you'd identify yourself for the record, please.
Good morning. My name is Kathy Lee. I'm the Deputy Director and Chief Pension Officer for the Division of Retirement and Benefits.
Well, thank you. if I could relate something that I remember happening, a couple of teachers in Kodiak who had retired and wanted to go back to teaching, and at that time, I assume at this time too, they would have to pay money back into the retirement system. Is that true, or does this solve that problem? Why would teachers currently not be allowed to come back in the system?
Mr. Chair, the current rules prohibit a teacher from coming back into full-time active teaching. If a teacher does come back and works a full school year, then they must repay the retirement system all the benefits they received from July 1 of that school year through June 30 of that school year.
From July 1, so it's not doesn't go back 5 years or 10 years, anything like
no,
that.
No, it's just for the school year they are employed. They're prohibited from, at this point, they're prohibited from receiving a retirement check as well as earning more credit as a teacher. So when a teacher, retired teacher, reemploys now, they must pay their contributions, the employee contributions, and they do accrue additional service, which increases their retirement benefit. That's why their retirement benefit must be stopped.
Thank you. I understand. Could you also address the IRS issue of under 65, over 65?
Mr. Chair, I hope your eyes don't glaze over as I explain the IRS. This goes back to what is termed an in-service distribution. And an in-service distribution occurs when a member is still active in their retirement plan but is receiving benefits. There are some types of plans that allow an in-service distribution. Our plans do not. So when you're looking at avoiding an in-service distribution, you have to look to the IRS rules for what is considered normal retirement age. Now, normal retirement age, as set by the IRS, is strictly for tax purposes. It does not affect the eligibility in the plan itself. The IRS has set age 62 as normal retirement age for all private sector retirement plans, and that has been so since 2007. They have not formally set age 62 yet as the normal retirement age for government plans. Those regulations were submitted but have not been addressed by the Trump administration. However, the IRS has signaled that they will continue to review plans for qualification based on age 62 as the normal retirement. So that's why you see age 62 in that language there. So the difference comes in is to when the person is eligible for a retirement plan and when they are not. So age 62 is set as the normal retirement age. So to ensure that there is a bona fide separation of service, a person who is age 62 only has to have a 60-day break in service before they can reemploy with the same employer. They can reemploy with another employer, but they cannot reemploy with the same employer for 60 days. However, a person under age 62 is considered in the early retirement stage, so they must serve a longer period of separation before they can reemploy with the same employer. So that's why that's 6 months.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. That was a very good description. I pretty much take from that to do what the IRS says. And
pretty much, sir.
Yes. Senator Baggage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to clarify, the employee who leaves LKSD and decides to retire today cannot go and then apply to go to work in ASD unless the rehire provision that is in this bill existed. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Baggage, that's correct. A retired teacher from any school district cannot reemploy with another school district without stopping their retirement and once again becoming an active member in the teacher's retirement system, with the exception of substitute teaching and short-term contracts.
Thank you, Senator.
Just a brief follow-up. Yeah. What's a short-term contract?
Through the chair, we look at a short-term contract of being around 60 to 90 days.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So could a district hire someone for on a one-year contract and keep doing that year after year after year?
Under the, Mr. Chair, under the current retirement statutes, if they continue to do that year after year, our auditors would question whether or not this actually was a temporary contract, because under the IRS rules, a temporary position cannot be any longer than 2 years. So we would begin to question whether or not this is truly a temporary position, and if it is not, then the member is the one that's going to be penalized, because we will collect all the retirement they received over that 2 year period.
Thank you. And does this relate to whether it's a full-time position or a part-time position? Can someone come in and teach a half a day? Is that possible under the proposed bill we have?
Mr. Chair, any service in the teacher's retirement system that is 50% of the normal work week or over must participate in the TERS.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any further questions? Senator Hughes.
Yes, earlier, before you came to the table, there was this discussion about the 12.56% contribution by the employer and that we weren't increasing the TERS liability. But I thought you said that when the retired teacher comes back, they are accruing credit for time served. So does it actually increase the retirement liability, and that is why the 12.56% is being needed from the employer? Or is that 12.56% just helping bring down our liability?
Through the chair, Representative Hughes, under this bill, the retiree would be able to come back into service without having to have their retirement benefits stopped. They would not accrue additional service. Therefore, a contribution from them is not necessary. The 12.56% contribution, 12.6, excuse me, I got the wrong plan. But the contribution for the employer is needed to keep the system whole.
Okay, thank you. And I have a second question. Medicare kicks in at some point, and I'm just curious if once a retired teacher is 65, I would think that would really help the districts as far as would they realize a saving, even though that person, their secondary insurance would be through the active employee plan at the district? Would it be to an advantage for them to hire someone who's 65 or older in this capacity?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, active insurance and active employee insurance is always primary to either Medicare or to the retiree health plan. So it would still, a teacher participating in the employer's active health plan would still create a cost for that plan.
Thank you for that. I thought it was the other way around. If a person is retired, however, this is a little bit off the bill, but since we've got you here, if a teacher is retired and has not gone back and been reemployed, is on Medicare, is Medicare the first payer and the health care through the retirement system is secondary?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, that's correct. If you're retired, then Medicare becomes your primary insurance.
Okay, thank you.
Just follow up on that just a bit, because I really don't know the answer to this. University of Alaska opted out of the Social Security system, so I can tell you Social Security benefits are remarkably low in that system. Is that also true about the public school teachers?
Mr. Chair,
districts opt out of Social Security as the university did.
Mr. Chair, the members of the teachers' retirement system have not been in Social Security since around 1945. When Social Security was offered to government and public employees, there was an opt-out provision. If you had a retirement plan already, you did not have to participate if the members of that plan voted to not participate. So at that time, the teachers that were in that plan voted not to participate in Social Security, and so that is why they're not in Social Security today.
Thank you. It gets curiouser and curiouser, doesn't it? Well, thank you very much. If there's no further questions, please go ahead, Senator.
I'm sorry. I'm just curious, and because we have her, I'm just wondering this inability and the reason why we need this bill to bring retired teachers back on. Does that limit impact all state employees right now? So, in any state employee couldn't come back and continue to collect benefits and be rehired in across the board? Is that a rule for all public employees, and I'm asking about state employees too. Just
okay, through the chair, Senator Hughes, that's a standard provision in our retirement plans that you cannot be a member of the system while you are a retiree. So you would always have to stop your benefit before you could be participating in a full-time permanent position or a part-time permanent position.
Well, thank you. Senator Coghill, and I remember the days when years ago we were talking about fishing game employees that would retire, sit at the same desk, no change at all, whether you're drawing retirement and they're drawing a salary. And this does not do that, right?
Mr. Chair, no, this does not do that. It requires, this bill requires a recruitment period, an evidence of a recruitment period, and only a one-year contract.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lee. Appreciate your knowledge and helping us get through this. Thank you. We have several other folks signed up to speak to us. Start with Mr. Wooten, Norm Wooten, from the Association of Alaska School Boards. Thank you for being with us, Norm. Speaking of retired people, it's good to have you with us.
Mr. Chairman, I can sympathize with that. I failed retirement twice, so I'm not very good at it. For the record, my name is Norm Wooten. I'm the Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. I will be brief this morning and not repeat anything that my colleague, Dr. Parity, did in the interest of time. The Association of Alaska School Boards is in support of SB 185, and in fact, we have two resolutions put forward by my delegate assembly supporting that this very idea that you have before you in Senate Bill 185. Currently, we are competing with every other state in the entire nation for the same pool of decreasing teacher applicants. The rehire of retired teachers and administrators, let me be very clear, is not the final solution to the shortage that we have in that field. However, it is a temporary solution, and it would enable districts to be able to fill those hard to fill to be able to employ those hard-to-fill positions that we are currently experiencing in every district, both rural and urban districts. It's not just on one in one area. We thank the Senator Michici for the sponsor of this bill for putting it forward, and we urge its passage.
Thank you, Mr. Wooten. So, are you finding that just for our knowledge that people are teaching longer than they used to? Is that the case or not? Do you know that?
The only thing I have is Mr. Chairman, the only thing I have is anecdotal information on that, and I think it depends on the individual. Some work and enjoy working and continue working, and others not so much, and they retire when they're eligible.
Very good. Thank you. Further questions?
Thank you.
Actually, Senator Geisel said to me, why is anyone retiring at 65? Very good point. Thank you, Mr. Wooten. Mark Miller from the Juneau School District. Thank you, Mr. Miller.
65 is the new 40. Did you know that?
Wow, that's good to hear. Thank you. Mr. Miller.
For the record, Dr. Mark Miller, superintendent here in Juneau. Thank you for the opportunity to testify and for the work that you do. I'm in favor of this bill because it deepens a shallow talent pool that is getting shallower by the day. As I was lying in bed last night at 2 a.m. trying to figure out how I'm going to close a $3 million budget deficit and wondering if my bus barn was going to call at 3 a.m. and ask me to call a snow day, I kind of had a thought. It's like, riddle me this, Batman. If I decided to retire tomorrow and having to make these decisions, that's becoming a more and more of a real possibility. And I went to Home Depot, and I put on one of those orange aprons, and I stood out front every day and said, welcome to Home Depot. I could do that for the entire rest of my career, receive benefits, receive the health benefits, and be fine. But if I decided that I wanted to use my bachelor's in biochemistry and my master's and doctorate in education to help young students learn to read and write and do chemistry and math and maybe even some DNA biology, I'd prohibit it in the state of Alaska from ever doing that as long as I'm retired. So to me, this is not just about deepening a talent pool. It's about resources. To me, Alaska's greatest resource, it's not oil or natural gas or fish or even a permanent fund, it's Alaskans. And in tough times, our most important job is to leverage our resources to the maximum good of the state. And I believe this bill does that. So I would encourage you to not only look at this as deepening a talent pool, but leveraging our most important resource for the good of the state and the good of the students. Again, thank you, Senator Maticki, for bringing it forward. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Dr. Mallor. Very compelling. The only thing I worry about is telling our chair of resources that now she's responsible for all the people in Alaska as well as the resources. Thank you, sir. Any questions?
Thank you.
Let's go to online testimony, and we'll start with Pete Hoffner from Cordova. Now, Pete, good morning. Are you with us?
Stevens?
Yes, I can hear you, Pete. Please go ahead.
Excellent. Thank you. I appreciate the Senate Education Committee for taking testimony on Senate Bill 185, the reemployment of retired teachers and administrators. And I appreciate Senator Maticci for sponsoring this bill. Schools throughout Alaska have positions that they are unable to fill, particularly with hard-to-fill teaching positions such as special ed and high school math and science. And this is an urban and rural issue. In talking to the Alaska teacher placement folks, the number of teachers going to the Alaska teacher fairs dropped dramatically in the past number of years. 1,500 to 2,000 individuals were applying at one point in time. In 2014, 250 candidates were at the fair. In 2017, there were 211 candidates. And there were 850 to 900 positions open at that time. It included janitors and nurses. The reason folks are coming to Alaska for teaching jobs is for the Alaskan experience only. The salaries are not up, the retirement benefits are not there, as well as there's a nationwide teacher deficit. It was noted that in Texas, a teacher can start at $56,000 a year with a bachelor BA in education and zero experience. Most Alaskan districts can't afford that. This is not a silver bullet to teacher hiring across the state, but just one more tool in the toolbox to put a teacher in front of every student in every classroom. We want to assure that all districts are trying to fill these positions. And we also note that this is a one-year contract, as all teachers are only contracted for 1 year. This bill is also supported by the Alaska Association of School Boards Resolutions 4.5, addressing the teacher specialist and administrative shortage adopted in 1999, as well as 4.10, urging the state of Alaska to reinstate the Retire Rehire program adopted in 2008. It is also noted that the revised fiscal note to this shows that there's minimal impact to the state. I thank you for taking your time and supporting this legislation. And this is Pete Hefner. I'm with the Cordova School District. I'm a school board member here.
Thank you very much, Pete. Thank you again for your service. I know you've been doing this for a good long time, and great appreciation to your school district. Let's go on then to Adina Bishop, Dr. Bishop, Anchorage School District. Are you with us, Adina Bishop?
Hi. As the superintendent of Anchorage School District, I'm speaking in strong support of Senate Bill 185. For many years, ASD has accessed the extensive experience and expertise of retired employees and educators by allowing for temporary and part-time employment opportunities. Nevertheless, our efforts to capitalize on such a talented and veteran workforce have been severely limited without a provision to allow for the unrestricted reemployment of retirees, such as would be allowed by Senate Bill 185. As I understand the proposed bill, districts would be permitted to essentially enter into an at-will employment agreement with a retired teacher or administrator so long as the individual has been retired for 6 months. current protections and benefits such as tenure, sick leave, and retirement would not be offered or required as the nature of the employment relationship with the retired individual is so different. Though some of these limitations are not clearly identified in the bill, we would support their explicit restriction, as well as ensuring that the benefits of Senate Bill 185 exist well into the future by also allowing the rehire of retirees under the new defined contribution plan. However, it is our interpretation that the state under SB 185 would benefit from the district's continuation to pay the supplemental 12.56% for rehired retirees for the purpose of decreasing unfunded pension liability. It's a win-win. I want to assure you that the reemployment of retired teachers is not pursued in ASD to avoid the hire of new teachers. Retirees fill gaps when properly certified staff cannot be hired in hard-to-fill areas. They provide temporary or short-term expertise for special projects or initiatives. They give needed support during high-demand times of the year, such as summer months, the start of the school year, or during assessment periods. ASD is encouraged by the possibility of being able to hire retired teachers rather than contract agencies to more effectively and efficiently fill these needs. One of the most attractive aspects of SB 185 is the potential savings our district could experience. Again, because certain costs would not need to be provided to retirees, there are significant savings that could be redirected back to the classroom environment or even used to hire other new classroom teachers. On behalf of the Anchorage School Board, we recognize the fiscal realities which you are facing and appreciate your willingness to provide school districts with increased flexibility and discretion in a time of constricting resources. We embrace innovation and support creative solutions. We are encouraged by the concept proposed in Senate Bill 185 and see that it has the potential to offer great benefits to our district and the state alike. I want to thank you for this opportunity to share my support for your work. Thank you.
Thank you. And for the record, that was Dr. Dina Bishop, the superintendent of the Anchorage School Board. The Anchorage School District. Thank you, Dr. Bishop.
Thank you.
Let's move on to Jack Walsh, who's the superintendent at Craig School District. Mr. Walsh.
Good morning, Senator Stevens and members of the Education Committee. For the record, I'm Jack Walsh. I'm the superintendent at Craig School District, and I wanted to speak on behalf of Senate Bill 185. I really do appreciate the work that went into developing this and the sponsorship of Senator Machiki to bring it in front of this body. This marks my 23rd year as an administrator in Alaska and my 23rd year attending job fairs and trying to fill the classroom needs and the leadership needs of school districts and schools to serve our students in mostly rural Alaska, though. The most urban district I was in was Kodiak, but a lot of my responsibilities there were also serving some small communities that district serves. This plan is something that I think has worked in the past and offers a real option for people. I like the fact that most of the speakers have addressed it as another tool that we have at our access to kind of make sure that we're putting the best quality teachers in front of our students. To secure the future of Alaska. I think that another piece, again, that's important to look at is all of the stuff that goes along with the retirement programs and the Department of Administration, with school districts and the Department of Administration. We've worked on this a lot, because it's been an ongoing concern for a number of years, and districts have, already had to address issues about people that were brought back on contracts. We have statutes that allow us to bring people back for less than full time. But we didn't always have the same understanding of what less than full time meant or part time. So I do appreciate we've spent a lot of time in the last few years trying to get that straightened out with the Department of Law and with other people. I guess so I don't kind of reiterate everything everybody said, I think that districts need this tool and need this resource because we are regularly dealing with illnesses of staff members. We are regularly dealing with you know, family emergencies and things that happen, and we need people to come in for short times or short periods of time or long periods to kind of help us maintain the quality of the services we provide. And this is another tool to help with that. I do understand and appreciate the concerns that people have about, you know, people drawing on a retirement and also earning a salary. But we know that this is something that goes on in a lot of areas of our state and in a lot of areas of government. And so I do appreciate that, you know, while those concerns are real, this has in it some money going into the retirement system to kind of help with that ongoing deficit that we have. So I just want to say in conclusion, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to this. Thanks so much for considering this. I think it's a critical piece of how the future of Alaska schools can be improved and opportunities for children as best they can be.
Well, thank you, Superintendent Walsh. Great to hear from you. Before we go any further, and before Senator Hughes becomes a grandmother, and she may have to step out momentarily, she had a question of Dr. Parody, if you would mind coming back.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, again, my name is Lisa Skiles Parody with the Alaska Council of School Administrators.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Dr. Parody, I believe you mentioned that an earlier effort, or at least there was discussion of putting a sunset on this, and this doesn't have a sunset. Can you tell us, and I did notice Dr. Bishop mentioned that this would be needed in the future, but can you talk about why there's no sunset date on the bill?
Through the Chair, Senator Hughes, what I mentioned earlier is that the previous bill did sunset, and we had discussion about whether or not a sunset would be appropriate, and to be quite candid, because of the gravity of our current situation with shortage in Alaska like we've never seen before, as we're working on strategies outside of this to, you know, look at alternative certifications and all of the things that the president of the university is doing, all of those things coming together, we really don't have a sense of when we're going to be able to shift this tide. And so I'm not sure that our members would be contrary to a sunset, but identifying when that might be appropriate would be difficult. We're in trouble. You know, our system is, our foundation is cracking because we can't, you know, find qualified staff to fill our vacancies. And so when that's going to turn around, knowing that all of us are putting our best efforts into figuring out strategies to, along with the rest of the country, would be hard to determine. And so we decided not to suggest a sunset because I think that's going to take some time to do. And this is a stopgap, I think, to fill that void in the meantime. And I just want to add that everyone is working on this. The Department of Education and Early Development is working on this. The university is working on it. Groups like mine, the School Boards Association. I mean, we are putting our best efforts forward to figure out how we're going to collectively solve this issue, because ultimately it's about our students having the best people in front of them, and that isn't always happening today. And so we have to turn that around. And so in terms of a sunset, I don't know that we would be opposed to it, but I think it would have to be out there quite a ways, because we're not alone. You know, I like to say Alaska's on steroids. Every one of the rest of the states, not everyone, the majority of the rest of the lower 48 are in the same boat that we're in, and we're historically getting our teachers from the lower 48, so that makes our problem even worse. We get most of our teachers from Oregon, from the lower 48, and I was next to my colleague, the person in my position in Oregon a week ago, who said they're doing emergency waivers to get students in college into the classroom as fast as they can with support. So if that's the state that we're primarily reliant upon to get our teachers, and they're in crisis also, I think it means that we, you know, we've got to redouble our efforts to figure out some other strategies. But in the meantime, this is a potential support to our districts to fill that. And I really couldn't put a timeline on when we're going to turn that tide.
Thank you, and just a follow-up comment, and I appreciate that because I, too, have not heard that anybody knows the magic date when the national teacher shortage is going to conclude. So that makes sense. And I just would like to make an editorial comment. If this truly would help the retirement liability and is obviously helping districts, it makes me want to expand and think about it in regard to, for instance, the trooper situation as well, whether this might be something that outside of the education community that it might be a solution. So I'd be curious from, you know, at just talking perhaps later with Kathy Lee about that possibility. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Senator Hughes. We've got this is Senator Coghill taking the gavel because the chairman had to go to another committee meeting. We have six people left to testify, and certainly I don't want to slow down the ability to have the discussion on this and get input. We have Catherine Gardner from the Mat-Su School District. Catherine, are you there and can you hear us?
I am here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Put yourself on the record and give us your testimony, please.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Education Committee. For the record, my name is Catherine Gardner, and I am the Executive Director of Human Resources for the Mat-Su Borough School District. I want to just first start by thanking you for your service and thanking you for the opportunity to speak to you this morning, expressing my support on behalf of the Mat-Su School District for SB 185. While we support the legislation, I do want to assure the committee members that in Mat-Su, our needs to hire retired teachers and or administrators is very limited. However, having this as an option provides a great deal of relief when we face either late, unexpected, or hard-to-fill vacancies. We're fortunate to operate in the beautiful Mat-Su Valley, where our recruiting challenges are not as difficult as many of our peers around the state of Alaska. However, we do each year have positions which require either a specific skill set, a certain level of expertise, or are only part-time positions, and we rely on retired rehires to fill these positions. We appreciate the increased flexibility that SB 185 provides us to be able to employ retirees. While in most instances our preference will be to hire an individual who is not retired, we know based on our experience that this preference may not be able to be realized in all circumstances. In expressing my support for SB 185, I want to encourage the committee, as Dr. Bishop described, to include some of the explicit additions of the employment restrictions as they're envisioned in this bill, so there's no question regarding those items. And I would also ask that the bill be implemented for individuals who are working at least half-time so as not to negatively impact some districts' current practice of employing retirees for really limited part-time positions, which are not retirement eligible. Again, I know your time is limited. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak and for hearing SB 185. If there are questions, I'm happy to answer them, but thank you again.
Catherine, thank you. A couple of good suggestions to take in there. Any questions? Catherine, thank you very much for your input and your testimony. Next, we'll go to Sean Arnold, who's superintendent of Norm Public Schools. Sean, put yourself on the record if you're there and give us your testimony.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sean Arnold. I'm the superintendent of Norm Public Schools. And I just want to share out briefly that, first off, thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm in strong support. SB 185 is a tool that will help school districts around the state for our time to attract effective educators to our districts. Speaking for Norm Public Schools, we have seen increasing difficulties there filling the most needed positions. These are the specialist positions, our school counselors, especially special education teachers. It's been more difficult the last 4 years since I've been here in Nome to find and attract the teachers that we need the best teachers for students of the greatest needs. And this is especially an area that we've seen declining applications, just harder and harder from year to year. Nome is it's a great place, like many places around the state. Fortunately, too, many of our teachers, when they finish after 25 years, remain in the community, and some of them are those hard-to-fill specialists. If we had an opportunity, we could bring them in, but, of course, many are hesitant because of the impact that it could have with retirement and other benefits. You know, as we see, we're trying to find different solutions. This wouldn't be the only solution, but we're looking for other solutions to try to kind of find, you know, the best ways to fill these positions. We can't do without it, and we just appreciate any support. This is definitely a legislation that is moving in the right direction, and I just want to share again that I strongly support this, and thank you for the opportunity to share those comments out today, and thank you for the work on this.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. I appreciate your comments and your work. Next, I don't see any questions, so thank you, Sean. Sean Dusek is with the Kenai Peninsula School District. Sean, are you there? And can you put yourself on the record?
I'm here.
Testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Sean Dusek. I'm speaking today as the superintendent for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, and I wanted to thank you for the opportunity to testify today in support of SB 185. I also want to thank Senator Muchiki for his sponsorship of this bill. As you have heard from Dr. Parody and other superintendents, the Alaska Superintendents Association strongly supports this bill. And I believe this bill really is a bridge to help schools and districts until the University of Alaska system meets their goal of supplying the vast majority of educators for Alaska public schools. This will take time, though. I also really appreciate the testimony from Dr. Parody and Ms. Lee about the complexity of this bill and some of the questions that they were able to answer. But I do believe that the benefits of this bill outweigh the possible complexities. In the Kenai Peninsula, we annually have a handful of positions open that this measure could help fill. We will always recruit the best and the brightest, and we always want to make sure that we go out and work very hard to fill our positions with current teachers. But at times, we do need the pool of retired teachers to fill the gaps that we have at the beginning of the year. Again, SB 185 would allow for the reemployment of retired teachers and administrators to help fill vacancies and is a necessary tool for our district's personnel needs. Our students will benefit from the experienced leadership and experienced teachers and educators working with new teachers to achieve a comprehensive learning program for all our students. I ask for your support of SB 185. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sean, and thank you for your work. Your daily work. Any questions at this point? No? All right, we're going to go to Patrick Mayer, who's Wrangell Public Schools Superintendent. Patrick, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Senator Coghill and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Patrick Mayer, and I am the superintendent of the Wrangell Public Schools and president-elect of the Alaska Superintendents Association. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. It is greatly appreciated, and thanks also to the sponsors for working with us to bring this bill forward to help education. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be attending the job fair in Anchorage. We have several positions open here in Wrangell, and I no longer have to worry about the stampede of teachers candidates that you might be in the way of entering the ballroom of the Captain Cook. Unfortunately, that has been severely diminished, as previously referenced. So, ASA is in strong support of SB 185. It's a mechanism that's going to help our school districts in a time where we need immediate help with attracting quality educators to our classroom. This isn't going to resolve all the challenges, but it will certainly provide some relief. SB 185, retire, rehire, would allow for the reemployment of retired educators to help fill those vacancies. Much needed support in filling those vacancies, and it is a necessary tool to help meet school district personnel needs in both urban and rural districts. This legislation is vital because we have a critical shortage of teachers, principals, and superintendents in Alaska, where we continue to experience high turnover rates. Our members currently make the hiring decisions in the East District, and we deal with the challenges of a diminished applicant pool. The joint position statement developed by the Alaska Council of School Administrators reflects retire, rehire as a top priority. As superintendents and principals to varying degrees, we managed to find ourselves in the position of having to provide a near-term hire. The flexibility provided by SB 185 allows us options that are best for students. And I want to focus on that student aspect for a minute. Our students will greatly benefit from the experience provided by willing, experienced, and currently retired teachers. On behalf of our organization and all of education, we ask for your support on SB 185. And again, thank you all very much.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate your comment. See no questions at this point. So we're going to go to the Fairbanks School District, where we have Karen Gaborik, who is a superintendent there. Karen, put yourself on the record and give your testimony.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senate Education Committee, for hearing this bill. I'm Karen Gaborik, superintendent in Fairbanks and president of the Alaska Superintendents Association. I greatly appreciate Dr. Parody's previous testimony, her illumination of the broad scope of this issue across Alaska and then the details regarding implementation and what that will mean for districts and for the state. I'm also expressing my support of SB 185. In Fairbanks, for the first time since Alaska as a whole has been experiencing the challenges of teacher shortage, Fairbanks has felt that same pain the last couple of years. And even though we're on the road system and we often attract maybe more teachers in some of the rural areas, these needs are real for us as well. We almost always have special education positions that go unfilled for significant lengths of time, but now we are experiencing regular education positions that have gone unfilled, and specifically in Fairbanks, some of our challenge areas include music and then high school math and high school science. The ability to hire retired teachers to fill these positions on a temporary basis, whether it be a matter of weeks, a semester, or a year, would make a huge difference for students. Right now, when positions such as these go unfilled, students experience a revolving door of substitute teachers, many of whom are not qualified in that particular content area. And this, in a very real way, equates to time and learning lost in critical content areas. And very specific experience in Fairbanks, it also requires other teachers doing other jobs to support these classes. So we have teachers having to kick it in and do double work to support a class that goes unfilled, that has an unfilled hire. Like others, our priority in Fairbanks will always be to recruit and hire the most currently highly qualified teachers on a long-term basis. But more and more, we are experiencing gaps in hiring. And I also want to recognize that there's a huge need in the smaller districts, and you've heard from some of those superintendents today, with their own challenges around hiring and the teacher shortage. Many of our communities have retired teachers who would be willing to assist, and even some in the urban areas that might be willing to go out to the rural areas on a short-term basis. But they're not particularly interested in long-term employment. There's a wealth of talent and experience in a retired teacher pool, and the ability to tap this resource would be significant for Alaskan students. I appreciate your efforts to support this bill and your service as well. Thank you.
Karen, thank you very much. And for all of you who've been on for so long, your patience and your input, and thank you for your work. We're going to go to Carrie Boyd, who is a superintendent of the Yukon-Koyukuk School District at this point. Carrie?
Good morning, Chairman, members of Senate Education. For the record, my name is Carrie Boyd, superintendent of Yukon-Koyukuk School District and secretary of Alaska Superintendent Association. I'm calling in full support of Senate Bill 185. As a superintendent of a district that employs teachers in very rural, remote, fly-in areas, as well as employ teachers in Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau, and Wasilla. This could be very beneficial for us. This would allow us to have more flexibility to hire, to fill in the gaps. Over the years, we have had to fill in for positions at the last minute, and retired teachers are very reluctant to do so because of impacts to their benefits. This would inadvertently, I believe this would be a help to the state overall. After speaking with my staff about this, I want to make sure before I testify that I'd have their support as well as the board support. What I found surprising was they're very much in support of it, but they said, you know, I may even consider staying in Alaska after I retire. Several had plans to leave, and now they are considering staying to utilize their strengths as educators. So, again, I just want to thank you for this opportunity. It will provide lots of flexibility or more flexibility to Alaska School District. Thank you.
Gary, thank you very much, and thank you for your day in and day out work, and for all of the superintendents, principals who every day show up. Thank you very much. That's all that we have on public testimony today. I want to thank Lisa Parity Skiles Parity for her testimony and helping us think through some of these issues. It's kind of interesting. I'm going to hold the bill aside until the chairman of the committee come back and join us. But only one comment that I would have is in the interior, retired state workers, federal workers, and military make up a huge chunk of my working population. And it becomes an interesting economic dynamic where not only do they bring expertise, but they will take on other jobs, start small businesses that you probably would not be able to replace otherwise. So it's just a big part of our whole economy. But right now, the great need in our education system obviously has been made very clear today. So with that, we're going to send, Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a minor point. Most of the letters in the backup file are for HB 224, which is, and they speak to changes in HB 224. That bill's not here, and I just wanted to be sure that we got some letters that it was good to hear the testimony from some of those same folks, but it would be good to have letters that actually refer to the bill that we have. So I just wanted to put that up.
And a couple of the suggestions that came up, I think I brought up to the staff of the committee to take a look at. With that, we're going to lay the bill aside and adjourn the committee. All right? Have a pleasant day. We're adjourned.